The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 15, reading the first 10 verses. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. On this 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks and the nearly 3,000 lives that were lost in New York and Washington and in a field in Pennsylvania, we are reminded that in this life at least, not all of the lost can be found again. It's hard to believe that it was 15 years ago that kids entering high school this fall were not even born yet. And for those of us who can remember, there are certain memories that will always stay with us. One of the deacons in the old Bergen Church in Jersey City, where I was the pastor, called me that Tuesday morning and told me about a plane that had hit one of the World Trade Center towers. I figured it was a small private plane that had veered off course, a freak accident. It didn't occur to me that it might be a terrorist attack. But turning on the news, we soon learned that it was something far more serious. Since we had a clear view of the New York City skyline from our church's bell tower, I climbed the stairs to watch from a distance the horrific attack that unfolded. I remember the flames, the plumes of black smoke, the debris and bodies falling, and finally the collapse of the two towers. Besides that immediate memory, I remember the signs and photos posted around the city and on the chain-link fences surrounding Ground Zero. Spouses, children, parents, and friends were searching for loved ones. Some of the signs were crayon drawings with words like, "I miss you, Daddy," or "Please come home." Some included a photo with a phone number. "If you see my wife, call this number." But in many cases, the phone did not ring. The lost were never found. I understand that after all these years, there are over 1,000 people who were never found, not a trace of them, Nearly 40% of those who died in the Twin Towers were never found. But here's the thing. Those who lost loved ones never really gave up. They never gave up searching for them. They continued to hope, even that something of them would be found. Anything. Jesus says that's the way it is with God. Out of his great love for us, God never gives up searching for us because there's too much love involved. God won't give up on us. That's what you do when you love someone. Jesus gives us two short stories to illustrate. In the first parable, Jesus tells about a shepherd who lost one of his sheep. He must have loved his sheep. It probably strayed off when he wasn't looking. And he does what we would expect of any shepherd. He goes out after the one that is lost until he finds it. And in the second parable, a woman has lost one of her 10 silver coins. They were probably quite valuable and meant a lot to her. And so she turns the house upside down and searches carefully until she finds it. That's what you do. But then if you think about it, there's also something a bit unusual about these parables. When the shepherd finds his sheep and comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says, "Come celebrate with me. I found my sheep that was lost." And so also the woman, when she finds the silver coin, she calls together her friends and neighbors for a party. Now, I'd say that's a lot of fussing over a lost sheep or a lost coin. I don't know that anyone would really do that. Some time ago, Yuna lost one of my socks in the laundry. One of my favorite pair of socks. And so she went down to the basement and found it in the washing machine. I was glad that she found it. But when I suggested that we call our friends and neighbors to have a party to celebrate the finding of the lost sock, she kind of looked at me and thought I was a little wacky. I think these parables were meant to illustrate God's out of the ordinary compassion for the lost and the amazing joy that God has when the lost are found. And here we're talking about people, not animals or things. Jesus frames these two parables, plus a third about a lost son, by telling us that Jesus was speaking to two crowds. There were the tax collectors and sinners with whom Jesus was keeping company. And then there were the Pharisees and the religious scholars looking on who grumbled about Jesus hanging out with these losers and even eating with them. Now we can imagine how differently these stories sounded to these two different groups of people. The tax collectors and the sinners with whom Jesus was eating no doubt heard these stories as very good news. People had always looked down on them. They were lost causes. People hated tax collectors. Not only were they told that they would never be good enough to enter the kingdom of God, but many of them probably believed it. They were lost souls. And so when Jesus told them about the joy in heaven when the lost are found, it gave them hope and it gladdened their hearts. They were not lost. But these parables must have sounded very differently to those disapproving religious leaders. It didn't seem right to them that Jesus paid so much attention to those lost, undeserving souls who didn't come anywhere near about obeying the law or keeping the commandments. These religious folks believe that God loves and accepts people for their obedience to God. They're following the religious traditions, their good works. And they took no joy in celebrating the salvation of these undeserving sinners. I wonder sometimes which set of ears we use when we listen to these parables of God's extravagant, undeserving love. Yes, the gospel sounds wonderful when we see ourselves as the recipients of God's grace, but can we also rejoice when we see others accepted and loved who, in our view, are not really deserving? It's hard for us to celebrate when we see certain others loved who do not seem to be deserving of it, who have not earned it. I think we can only join in celebrating the recovery of the lost when we realize that when it comes right down to it, we're pretty much all lost and unworthy. We are all sinners saved by grace. Lifelong church members, faithful, alongside of newly saved drug addicts. Conservative Christians with high moral standards alongside of more liberal folks who seem all too willing to compromise with the values of the world. We all sin, perhaps in different ways, but we all need the same amount of grace to be saved. If you think about it, were it not for the amazing grace of God, we would all be lost sheep in danger of dying alone in the wilderness. Were it not for God's compassion to seek and to save the lost, we would all be lost. We see a person in a desperate situation and we say, "There but for the grace of God go I." A few weeks ago, someone in the congregation shared with me that for them, gratitude seems to be the most important thing in the Christian life, because it keeps us humble. It doesn't allow us to look down on others. Life is a gift for all of us. We all need God's love. We ought to rejoice. When I first studied these parables, they seemed rather straightforward. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Sure, I would do that. But what about risking the safety of all those other sheep, the 99, just to rescue that one lost sheep, the 99 left in the wilderness? This goes beyond any reasonable search and rescue. But that's what God was willing to do for us. God's love is huge, as some might say. But what about the safety of the 99? Each time we say the Apostles' Creed, we profess our belief in this amazing love of God. God went so far as to send his only Son into the world to rescue us from sin. He gave his life for us. We even profess that our Lord descended into hell. Some churches leave that phrase out. But what I think it means is that in death, Jesus went to the furthest place away from God. The furthest place where anyone can be lost. Jesus went there. No matter how lost we are, no matter how difficult life is, no matter what we've done to be unworthy to separate ourselves from God, no one is a lost soul because Jesus has been there. God is able to find us. We are grateful today that once again we are able, as God's gathered flock, to rejoice and to celebrate the fact that we have been found. God loves to see us here in the sheepfold, in the church. But God also cares passionately about those who are not here in the fold, those who have gotten lost, the lonely, the forgotten, those who feel unworthy. Maybe some people get lost in their work or in achieving material success. They don't think about God very much. We ourselves might become lost sometimes when we get overly busy maintaining the institutional church. And we forget about those who are outside of it. But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And he looks back over his shoulder to see if any of us are following him. And so we are gathered here not only to rejoice in God's great love for us, but also to be renewed and strengthened so that we can follow Jesus out there, out to school, to work, to our volunteer assignments in the hospital, to build houses, to befriend the lonely. Jesus is out there looking for the lost, and so should we. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen.